FM News Talk 97.1. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. This is The Annie Fry Show.
They're putting the first debate so late. The first debate should be before the first, at least before the first ballots go out, and they have it a month later, almost a month later. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, September 29th in Ohio.
Regardless what it is, I'm ready to debate. I don't care. I hear he wants to get out.
So Donald Trump there talking about wanting to get out and have the debates. I mean, are you guys, Katie and Ryan, are you guys, do you feel like you're back to normal at all? Do you feel like, you know, the much hated phrase, do you feel like you have a new normal, or do you feel like you're itching to reinsert yourself into a world that is like out there, just outside of the length of your arm to reach?
Unfortunately enough, I have become accustomed to what's going on right now. I can't wait. I cannot wait for things to move along and for some type of normalcy to come back. But yes, I have adapted to the new normal, and I'm just used to it. I'm used to you guys not being in the studio. I'm used to seeing 10 people every day. I'm used to wearing a mask. I'm used to it.
Yeah, it's amazing how fast things that have feel like such a huge change become normal. I drove into downtown St. Louis probably last week at some point to go into the main studio there off hours. And it felt like I was visiting a foreign country. Like, this is the way
the
world was, and this is the way it probably will be again soon. It just, the world has been shrunk to our basements for so long now that you forget that there's this bigger world that we're eventually going to go back to.
Yeah, there are parts of this that I don't want to have to change.
Yeah.
And I think that we've been thrust, as Americans, we've been thrust into a situation where we are forced to take inventory of our lives and to look at how, you know, A, what's important, because if it's important, you've probably made time and made an effort to continue to make that part of your life. And you've looked, you know, I look at my calendar every time I go back and I'm scrolling, like I need to look up a date or something, and I go back into either 2019 on my phone calendar or January, I'm like, I almost feel like a panic attack coming on.
Yes.
Anxiety of, I mean, I literally would live 2 hours in advance. That is all I knew. And whatever I was doing in the next 2 hours, that's what I had in my brain, because I couldn't do more than that because there was so much stuff going on. I like this slower pace of life, but we do have to get our economy going back the way it's supposed to be running, the way Americans do this, and getting people back to work. You combine, this is a very, very tumultuous time for people who are in a position like me or my husband. I'm sure, Ryan, you guys are probably having these same questions. It is August 5th. Happy birthday to my best friend, childhood friend, Tim, by the way. I just realized it's his birthday.
Happy birthday, Tim.
We are getting to a point where school is supposed to start in like 10 days, and plans are still changing to the tune of you might have to figure out how you are going to continue to have an income in your household because you are going to have kids at home. And are you going to have somebody come watch them? Does the amount of money you're going to have to pay to have them be watched, does it balance out with the amount of money you're making at your job? I mean, this is extremely stressful on people in a way that it hasn't been probably for the last few months, while we're all kind of scratching our heads and wondering, do we take the family vacation or not? This is starting to get very serious and very real for a lot of people as they have job questions, as they have education questions for their kids going forward. What is happening? Let's talk to our guest about it. Bryce Hill is a senior research analyst at the Illinois Policy Institute. And he can talk to us a little bit about how in the state of Illinois, moms are taking the brunt of COVID-19 unemployment. Bryce, thank you for coming on the show today. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Hey, Annie, thank you so much for having me.
Kind of explain to us a little bit about how Illinois moms are facing this pandemic maybe a little bit differently than some other individuals throughout the course of the state.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we've seen record unemployment numbers. We have 1 million people in the state of Illinois that are unemployed, and a disproportionate number of them are women. And the eye-opening statistic is that job losses have primarily affected women with children more than anybody else. So compared to men with children, women with children have experienced 3 times the job loss. We're already seeing women dropping out of the labor force, likely to contend with some of the issues that you raised at the beginning of the segment. And the longer that we go on and the more uncertainty that we have about how long daycare capacities may be limited, what's going to happen with schools, the more disastrous the effects are going to be, particularly for mothers who are searching for work right now.
Bryce, is this an issue that's specific to Illinois because of the way that we've handled the COVID crisis? Or is this kind of, you know, across the nation, no matter where you are, if you're a mom, you've bore the brunt of this?
Sure. So this is part of a larger trend nationwide. So women, particularly mothers, have been faced with greater job losses than men. But the Illinois unique component of it is where other states, some of them are starting to head back to school already. Some of them have fewer restrictions. There are some small differences, not small, I should say, significant differences in the experience of women and working mothers and unemployment or employment prospects.
Bryce Hill joining us right now from Illinois Policy Institute. We're going to put him on hold for a second here and see if we can get his connection established a little bit more. Ryan, I want to ask you about your situation at home. I know that we both send our kids to parochial or private schools, and I've been checking emails because I just saw yesterday the Alton School District has said that they are going to first quarter all remote learning. I know Muscoota School District is doing remote learning, I think, for the first quarter. From what I understand, Collinsville School District is doing a modified version, partly remote, it's partly in person. But, you know, I get the vibe that all of that could change at any minute. And you would have to completely reconfigure your plans. I mean, what are you going to do as a parent if you find out that in 4 days your kid's going to be learning from home and you're going to be responsible for their care? I mean, in the state of Illinois, I think you have to be 14 before you can actually stay at home without adult supervision.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, is that it's changing so fast. And like you said, my wife is a teacher. We send our kids to a private school. And in our situation, it's the same school that they're going to, which is great for commutes. But if they go full remote, which it could happen any day, then our kids would have to stay home while my wife goes to school. So there are so many situations like this that are happening right now. And it's not just if you're a teacher, it's if you're working from home, if you're working at an office, it's all different. And without a concrete plan and everything changing, man, I really feel for especially moms, because it affects me too, but I think mom's bearing the stress of it anyway, more than I am.
All right. Well, you know, I want to take a quick break. Katie, if you don't mind, let's take a quick break. I'm having some, I think, technical difficulty on my end here. We're going to come back with Bryce Hill and reconnect with him regarding the situation facing Illinois moms, facing Illinois residents, and especially the unemployment scenario in the state of Illinois has been very precarious. We'll have that discussion here in just a minute when we return. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with the Annie Fry Show. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show, specifically to Ryan and me, who apparently were the only people who were having technical difficulties. Bryce Hill is...
We don't matter.
No. Bryce is still holding on the line with us. And Bryce, I have to say, it's not you, it's me.
I've heard that one before.
Yeah. Well, Ryan and I were both like, what is going on here? And Katie didn't even hear what we heard. So we've got it all squared away as far as we know. And this is an important conversation, so I appreciate you hanging on the line with us so we can have it. The way that COVID is affecting Illinois moms is what we were discussing there. I was talking to you about unemployment as well in the state of Illinois. Unemployment, I keep hearing people talk about how disastrous the unemployment system is, that there are people who have been trying to get unemployment. They can't get the system to work. That doesn't seem to be a pressing issue for somebody to get it fixed. You know, it just seems like in the state of Illinois, all of this is a disaster. And yet at the end of this election season, when November hits, they're going to ask us to sign on the dotted line to give this same legislature and the same governor the ability to enact a progressive income tax, which they can shift those different brackets at a whim of a simple majority. 51% say, yes, these are the new tax brackets. They can do that, and they have a supermajority of Democrats right now. The state of the Illinois economy is in disaster mode, and it seems as though COVID is doing us absolutely no favors. So pick up where you left off a little bit, explaining about how this is affecting the Illinois moms. I'm sure that this is affecting moms across the country similarly as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, the Illinois economy is kind of in shambles right now. We have a million people out of work, actively seeking work. Women with children have lost their jobs at three times the rate of men. And, you know, as the year continues, these women are going to be faced with, a lot of them are going to be faced with tough decisions about, do they return to work and not know what to do with their kids if schools are closed or if daycare services are limited? Do they stay home and forego employment and income that they need to be able to sustain their families? And we got all this news just, you know, just right before we saw last week's GDP numbers, which showed a 33% contraction in economic activity that represents $90 billion a day. The state is losing $1 billion a day in economic activity due to the downturn. And so you mentioned the progressive income tax. If we want to provide a stable economy, one that's going to allow jobs to return, one that's going to put people back to work and give working mothers and those who are out of work opportunity in the future, we need to begin to say no to this tax hike and the greater taxation powers in Springfield.
Bryce, are you saying that this gap that we're seeing with women unemployment in Illinois, it's going to get worse if schools do decide to stay closed longer?
That's very likely going to be the case. So, you know, whether or not schools open, this needs to be part of the larger conversation and just recognizing that whether we like it or not, women disproportionately take care of children and do housework in their household. And so the more that those responsibilities increase, the less likely it is going to be for many of these women to be able to return to work. We're already seeing that in the labor figures. So we've seen labor force dropout for women of 6.3% so far, and that's something that's expected to grow, especially with all this uncertainty regarding schools or daycares.
Bryce, I want to ask you about any solutions or any possible directives that we could take as a state that would help support these women, whether they're moms or they're just women who are seeking to be gainfully employed. Is there anything that we can do as a state, as a legislature, as voters, directions that we can take right now that would help move us into a more economically sound position sooner rather than later?
Sure. So while the things that like Congress or Washington are working on are kind of short-term stimulus injections for the economy to try to keep things afloat, what we can do at the state level is to take a broader view and to look at what the future should look like and how do we provide the most opportunity for everyone in the future. And that really starts and ends with the progressive income tax vote that's coming up in November. So you mentioned the November election. Illinoisans are going to be able to decide on what kind of power they want to give to Springfield. And enacting a progressive income tax in this severe of a downturn goes against virtually any serious economist's recommendations. It's going to serve as something that takes away even more jobs. It's going to dampen economic activity even more. And so if we want to put the state on solid footing to have a prosperous and long economic future, we need to begin to talk about the implications of the progressive income tax. And voters really need to take a stand and say no to increased taxes once again by Springfield.
Bryce, I've seen ads pop up on my streaming services saying all of the virtues of the progressive income tax and saying to people who might be unemployed right now or underemployed all because of coronavirus, saying, you know what, you actually pay less under this plan. What do you say to somebody who's hearing both sides of this argument and try to convince them that the progressive income tax will not benefit them?
Yeah, there are two major points that I would make. The first being the tax cut that the governor is promising low-income Illinoisans. We actually took a look at the numbers and took a look at average incomes in that bracket. The lowest-income Illinoisans are going to be given $6 to start. That doesn't even include tax hikes like increased vehicle registration fees. It doesn't include tax hikes on local property taxes. So to sell this as a plan that's going to cut taxes for lower and middle income earners is really a lot of sleight of hand by the governor. And the next thing I would say is that how long do we expect these rates to be able to be in place, especially given the current environment? Lawmakers are relying on this plan to bring in $3.7 billion worth of revenue. We just saw a $90 billion drop in economic activity. So we're not going to bring in anywhere near that amount of money anymore. And so it just makes that even more likely that those tax hikes are going to creep their way down and down until eventually everybody in the state is going to be asked to pay more.
Bryce Hill with the Illinois Policy Institute. We appreciate this information. I want to encourage people to go to illinoispolicy.org to read the article that you have helped there with, Illinois Moms Take Brunt of COVID-19 Unemployment. We will share that as well at 971talk.com/Annie. Bryce, thanks for hanging on with us. And, this is my first day back from vacation. Things are a little rocky here, and we appreciate your time as we muddle through it.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Bryce Hill with the Illinois Policy Institute right there. I don't know what the technical difficulty was, but I guess Ryan and I are the only people who heard it.
Yeah, we're like, oh no, this must sound terrible, and everybody's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, no kidding. it's funny to me to hear people say things that don't sound PC. When people say, if somebody says things like, you know, this is affecting moms because they're the ones who more often stay at home and take care of the children and take care of the house, that's true, folks. That's just facts. But it's scary to say it out loud because then you're, you know, you hate women.
Yep.
And it's ridiculous that that's the world we live in. And you can hear things. I was shocked. This is a story that I had to print out because it just blew my mind, that after being gone on vacation for about 2 weeks, that Kindergarten Cop is now being canceled. Did you guys see this story?
No. I didn't see this.
I'm
what?
Like, what? You stay away from Arnold Schwarzenegger here. This is what's on Fox News. The NW Film Center canceled an August 6th outdoor screening of the 1990 which I was in kindergarten in 1990, which is why I particularly like the movie. Kindergarten Cop, starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, after it was excoriated on Twitter. For glorifying the traumatization of children by police. And this Kindergarten Cop was compared to these two movies, which obviously go together, Birth of a Nation and Gone with the Wind.
Of course.
Birth yeah.
Of a Nation. It all makes sense.
Gosh. What I don't remember. What are they saying that police do to the kids
and
in
Gone
that
with
movie?
The Wind.
The film has been planned to serve as the kickoff event for a, quote, Cinema Unbound, end quote, summer drive-in movie series at Zedel Yards. The movie stars Schwarzenegger as a detective who goes undercover as a kindergarten teacher in order to root out a drug dealer whose child may be one of the students in the class. It was filmed in Astoria, Oregon, and turns 30 in December of this year. The NWFC chose it, quote, for its importance in Oregon filmmaking history, end quote. However, their stance quickly changed following a Saturday tweet storm by left-leaning Portland author Lois Levine. Levine went on Twitter, a Twitter rant. He went on Twitter rant about Kindergarten Cop. Get a hobby. Levine went on Twitter rant, six tweets long, about how the film is exploitative and has no comedic or redeeming qualities. That sounds subjective. She also referenced a, quote, school to prison, end quote, pipeline, and claimed the police frequently arrest American children and throw them in jail.
Ugh. That is disgusting. Canceled. That is disgusting.
Do you
that
know
we
what
are,
I'm going to show my kids tonight? Kindergarten Cop.
That we're going, we're basing everything off of Twitter. Every single move we make, every single breath we take is
every
dictated
move you make.
Twitter's making it up. Twitter is seriously dictating everything.
I'll be canceling you.
It's true.
I'm saying it right now. We need to start a canceled movie festival. All movies that have ever been canceled. Air them for a full weekend. Pick a theater. Let's
It'll
do
be
it.
Our last week on the radio.
Yep.
Yes, it will.
Because someone's going to tweet about us.
First, Gone with the Wind, then Birth of a Nation, and finally, we land you with Kindergarten Cop.
And as you highlighted, this freaking movie was made in 1990. Things have changed. Things have changed. Humor has changed since then. Everything has changed since then.
Especially
the internet has changed.
The internet has been in existence.
So
yeah,
there
since
you go.
War made it
wasn't
60s.
The? Are you guys? Have you seen Kindergarten Cop?
Oh yeah.
Did the bad guy in Kindergarten Cop have a ponytail, slick back ponytail?
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
That's he looked like a bad guy.
He looked like a bad guy.
If you
want
to be a bad guy, you got to slick your hair back.
Oh
right.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Disappointing.
I thought there was a larger point.
No,
there.
No. I'm scrolling through all the news. Like I'm trying to get coming into today after. Legitimately. unplugging myself. If I saw there, I would scroll through my phone. Like if you're standing in line for something or if you're waiting for a reservation, I would open my phone and maybe look at Facebook or look at, I didn't really look at Twitter because that is the cesspool. But I'm going through my phone and every once in a while a headline would pop up and I'd be like, that sucks. Thank God I don't have to read that, and keep scrolling. And then when I get home Monday night, I didn't do anything until Tuesday because yesterday I took the day off specifically to try to get my sea legs so I could come back on here and not sound like a complete moron. Sorry to the folks who I failed in that regard. But you're looking at these stories and Beirut has this, what looks like a, I mean, it is a bomb, isn't it?
Sure,
like,
yeah.
It was a bomb. The question is like, why, what? But you know, that's going on and I'm like, oh, we're still talking about mail-in voting. Check, I can do that from when I left. And oh, we're still talking about Joe Biden's cognitive ability. I mean, he's trying to talk about it, but he can't get the words out of his mouth. Okay, I can go on from there. We're talking about primaries, we're talking about the squad, we're talking about Black Lives Matter and All Lives Matter and police brutality and George Floyd. Okay, I'm versed on all that. I just need to catch up where we are in the saga. What about kindergarten cop? Why is this a headline? And I'm reading it, and I'm like, this is the most predictable and unpredictable story to come out of 2020 yet. Like, of course this story is in 2020.
Absolutely.
You are here in 2020.
I wanted to ask you, and I know that you're going to go in broader detail tonight in the Pixie Dust podcast, but I did have some questions for you about the vacation. And my first question was,
I just want to go on record right now is to say that I didn't know Katie was going to ask me these questions. And if you're the type of person who turns off the radio show when the word Disney is mentioned,
I'll answer.
Come back in 10 minutes and maybe we'll be done with it.
I've already gotten
hate from people on our Facebook page because of that.
Whatever. You took a vacation. Sorry.
Let's just change the word Disney to be something else and then nobody will know.
Happy land.
Relaxation time. Did you feel
Happy land spa.
Like a normal person taking all of that time and not, because I said this to you before the show, you were not on social media. You were not tweeting really. You were not Facebooking really. You were not glued to your phone as we have to be because it's part of our job. How did that feel? How
I'll
did it feel?
That. I'll answer that for her.
Well, let's just put it this way. Yeah, I should have Ryan answer it, and then I'll just nod in agreement or shake my head. No. Let's put it this way. I realized that I pretty much immediately wanted to go back and that I needed a job in order to make that possible. This being here, and I said to my husband, I said, it is so awesome to be blessed with an ability to provide for my family that when I come back to this to talk to you, whether you are somebody who comments on our Facebook Live every day or you comment on our YouTube Live every day or you've never called the show, made a comment, but you hang out with me for 3 hours a day, for 10 minutes a day on your lunch break, whatever you do, I am so incredibly blessed to have this so that when I come back from a vacation, which was a long one, and I require a long vacation in the middle of the year like this so that I will actually force myself to unplug. Because if I take a long weekend here and a long weekend there, it's too much work to try to recalibrate everything. Like I said to Katie before we started the show, I said, it's going to take me all of this week to get myself back into the cycle of knowing what's going on because I legitimately am paying attention to the news in some way, shape, or form every waking hour. I have news alerts going off on my phone. I scroll through Facebook. I read Twitter. I read Google Stories. I read all of the websites that you don't want to read because you can't stand how they present information. Like, I am immersed in it, and it will take me, I need a window of time where I have been fully invested in it to be able to do this with ease. And it will probably take me this week to get that down. But to be able to come back and not dread this, I am so grateful for that. I am so appreciative for that. And I am so incredibly grateful that, you know, Ryan Recker is willing to fill in for us for a full week and Tim Jones is available and Mike Ferguson is available. That I filled in before I got this job. I was Mark Cox's fill in. Mm-hmm. So when Mark would take, because he had this slot, when Mark would take a vacation, I would fill in for him. And there'd be people like, oh, I love it when Annie's on. But there were also people who are like, Annie's great, but when does Mark come back? And I respect that because it was the Mark Cox show. You were there because it is his show. So I know that there are people who are like, all right, Annie, when are you getting back here? I got so many people who commented to me, sent me messages, sent me emails that were like, we really appreciated these fill-ins when they were gone. We're looking forward to having you come back. But it was complimentary across the board. And so I'm grateful for you guys for that as well, because you were part of keeping that ship steady. So I would say that I am grateful to the audience for permitting me that amount of time to go away. Mm-hmm. And I am very grateful to be back, because this is going to help me save up money so I can go back to Disneyland.
Absolutely.
We all know your end goal.
We just value, I think that we value the time away from our phones and technology so much, because we don't have that luxury. We don't get to do that. It's part of our job. So to have a couple of days where you're like, I really don't have to check my phone every single time I see a Fox News alert has got to be so like, I know it's a small window of time, but man, that feels good.
Just know this, Annie. It's still okay to watch Kindergarten Cop. Because it's got the greatest quote in it that's usable in so many circumstances. It's not a tuma. It's not a tuma. And you can say it anywhere. You can say it at birthday parties. You can say it at weddings. You can say it at probably not funerals.
That was kindergarten. Oh.
Did you miss it? Did you miss it? You know you did.
Well, now I remember.
Did you miss
it? When is my next trip? I think it's, when I think back about Kindergarten Cop, it was one of those movies that we had on VHS tape. And you remember, you know, if you grew up when we grew up, and Katie, did you have tapes?
I did, yes.
Were you mostly VHS tapes or were you mostly DVDs?
For about 6 years, VHS tapes. Yeah, 6 months. It was so about 6 years.
When you would get a tape, when you would be able to tape something off of one of the five TV channels that you had and you had a movie, like I remember we had my cousin Vinny. I don't know why we were watching that, but it was on KPLR and we taped it. And we knew the order of all the commercials that were in the VHS, the recording that we had made, but it was like our only way to watch something other than whatever was on TV. In middays, like right now, it was all soap operas. So as a kid, it was like you would have to go to Channel 9 and watch some kiddie shows. But the kiddie shows, even when you're kind of outgrown them, it was better than the stuff that was happening on the soap operas and the neighboring channels. But like if you had a Kindergarten Cop on a VHS tape, it's not like it had to be your favorite movie. It was the only alternative you had for something to watch. And you would watch it, and you would watch it, and you would watch it. I had Kindergarten Cop. We had Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah.
My Cousin Vinny, that fits in there nicely. Annie with Carol Burnett, the only Annie that I like to watch. I haven't seen any of the other ones, but they've made it many times, and that's my favorite. I've heard good things about the most recent one, too. I just haven't watched it.
Ours were Home Alone and Beethoven.
Nice.
I think maybe we had Beethoven was a classic TV movie. Yeah. All right. Well, go to your local Blockbuster and ask for a Kindergarten Cop, and everybody will wonder what's going on. All right. We'll take a quick break. Be back in a minute. Don't go anywhere. Well, when I think of Janet Jackson, I think of Donald Trump. That's not true, but Donald Trump was just talking, and I picked that music 3 hours ago, so that's just how that worked out. I still say if we put fun, happy, positive music behind Trump, I think we would get people to vote for him. We're going to play his press conference there. I'll leave it up to Katie if she wants to leave Janet Jackson up because she's got her finger on the button. Let's listen to what the president had to say here from the White House.
A little bit there, please.
Mr. President, in your estimation, is mail-in voting safe in Arizona as it is, as you say, in Florida?
Well, I haven't discussed it with the governor. I can tell you in Florida they've done a very good job with it. In Nevada, it would be a disaster. In New York, it's been a disaster. In many other places, it's been a total catastrophe. You know what's going on in New York with the Carolyn Maloney. I think they have to have a new election. You have no idea that fraud, all sorts of many ballots. Patterson, New Jersey, I guess it's 25% or 20% of the vote is tainted. You can't have that. You can't have that. So it's okay. Absentee voting, great. But this mail-in voting where they mail indiscriminately millions and millions of ballots to people, you're never going to know who won the election. You can't have that. And Nevada is a big state. It's an important state. It's a very political state, and the governor happens to be a Democrat. And I don't believe the post office can be set up. They were given no notice. I mean, you're talking about millions of votes. No, it'll be it's a catastrophe waiting to happen. And again, all you have to do is look at the vote that took place on a simple congressional district in an area that should be able to do it very easily in Manhattan. It's a total what's happened. It's a nightmare. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. Look at Paterson, New Jersey, and look at other locations. We can't have that. You'll never know who the winner is, but the winner's going to be me. So we'll see you at 5:30.
Trump knows who the winner is. We can talk about it. Trump already knows. We haven't voted yet. This mail-in voting thing, is. I hate when semantics cause us to have an agreement that can never be solved because both sides of the argument are arguing about different things. The idea of mail-in voting and absentee voting, if you're talking about mail-in voting and absentee voting as the same thing, semantically speaking, that's a possibility that they could be the same thing. Jonathan Swan of Axios, I haven't watched the interview. I figured by the time I got on the air, that interview would have been covered ad nauseum, and there'd be other insane stories to cover, and I would be doing that for you. But Jonathan Swan from Axios talked to him about mail-in voting. And this is a tweet within the last 24 hours from Jonathan Swan. When I interviewed POTUS, I said the mail-in voting materials people receive are applications, not ballots. That's overwhelmingly the case, but not universally so. For example, California and now post-taping Nevada. I should have used more precise language, and I'm sorry for the mistake. That's what Jonathan Swan said himself here within the last 24 hours on Twitter. That is important because there is a huge difference between the idea of mailing ballots out to be voted on to everybody, which is what Nevada is trying to do and California is trying to do. That is mail-in voting. That is different than saying, hey, I am not going to be in my home state during Election Day. Ryan is not going to potentially be in his home state during Election Day. He's going to have to vote absentee. And when he votes absentee and sends in his ballot that way, he has to request that ballot first, and so he can mail in an absentee ballot. That is different than a carte blanche. Everybody gets a ballot to every address of every voter, including people who have not been active voters for a long time and probably don't live at the addresses that they were sent to and could live at other locations now, maybe in different states where they are voting there, but somebody gets a hold of the ballot that was sent to them that, if checked, can be handed over to somebody and submitted in an actual election. And I got to tell you, my four-year-old understood social distancing in Disney World. My four-year-old was fully capable of wearing a mask the entire time, of abiding by all of the markings that said you stand here, and then when the spot in front of you is vacated, you stand there. She kept her hands off the railings for the most part. She was capable of doing that to get on a ride at Disney World. We can do that to vote in November. We absolutely can. So the argument over mail-in voting, make sure we all know what we're talking about. Don't say, when someone says to you, Donald Trump's been mail-in voting for the last however many years, that's an absentee ballot. That's different than the state of Florida or the state of Nevada or the state of California or the state of Missouri or Illinois sending ballots out to everybody so that they can all send them back in. It's different. And that is important. And you need to make that distinguishment before you get into the argument, not at the end when you already hate each other so much that it doesn't even matter. Ugh. It makes me furious because the president is making an argument for something that semantically other people are holding him accountable for something he's not saying.
Mm-hmm. This just all falls along party lines, too. And we all know it. So even if there's nothing nefarious that's going to happen, even if there's not some secret super PAC that's going to be changing people's votes and altering things on purpose, the whole point of Democrats trying to get mail-in voting passed is that they want to increase turnout because they don't have any confidence in their candidate. Mm. So they're worried that nobody's going to show up to vote for Joe Biden, and so they want to increase the turnout. Republicans, same thing. They don't want, well, fraud, first of all, but they also don't want that to happen, that nobody cares about the candidate, but we're sending you a ballot and we're dangling right in front of your face, so you're probably going to punch it anyway.
Yeah, so you might as well do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Real quick before we turn this over to the Dave Glover Show, I was having this thought while I was eating my lunch, which is grapes. And I think it's the same as to be said when you're eating French fries. Do you have a preference? Like, if you get a box of McDonald's French fries, is there a French fry in there that you want to eat first because it looks like it tastes better to you?
Oh, the most crispy French fry. Longest and most crispy.
So I was eating this bunch of grapes. And when you eat a bunch of grapes, you pick all the good grapes off first. And you eat them. And you probably look at some of the grapes and you think, that's disgusting. I'm not going to eat that. But then when you run out of grapes and you're still hungry and you still need something to eat, you see those grapes, you start eating the grapes that at the first point you never would have touched. That's like the way it is right now in our election. We're down to the last grapes that have some imperfections, but we still need a solution here. You've looked at the pile of French fries. You've taken out all of the delicious French fries. You've picked all of the best ones, and you're looking at this smaller pile of French fries with less choices and less options, and you're like, I'm still going to eat that. Just the way it is to vote for Donald Trump. It's possibly the way Democrats are going to look at voting for Joe Biden, which is, it's not the cream of the crop. It's not exactly the French fry that you had envisioned in your mind when you first ordered that order of French fry, or the bunch of grapes. It's not the very first plump, big grape that you wanted. But you've got some options here, and some are better than others, and you're still willing to eat those, even though at the beginning you can't foresee in your mind how you would have gone straight to that one. But it's the best of what you got, and you got to do what you got to do. And I think that we're at that point in our election cycle where we're going to have to rectify some things before we get to have the best of the best. We have to solve the problem that we have of this media that doesn't want to give you the truth because they have something else that they want to give you first. Their perspective, their insight. They want to affect change through what they see as best, not what you think is best, because they don't trust you with it. All right, that was a random thought by Annie Fry, and I had to share it with
those
you.
Those grapes.
No, I can't believe you guys diagnose your French fries before you eat them. I just grab a handful and as many as it can fit in my
mouth. Not surprised.
That is incredibly not shocking to me. That is exactly as how I would expect it. Before I go, I want to let you know, if you go like the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page, if you want to know more about my Disney vacation, I'm going to debrief tonight at 7:30 p.m. with Erica Murphy, my friend on the Pixie Dust Podcast, and Tony Colombo is going to join us as well because he has a vacation coming up. If you have questions, you'll be able to ask questions and participate that way, but make sure you go like the Pixie Dust Podcast Facebook page to get a notification at 7:30 when we go live. I'm so happy to be back. I am so grateful that you are here with me. And the Dave Glover Show is coming up next. Don't go anywhere.